Hello, Texans fans, and welcome to another edition of the Texans Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Lane, managing editor of the Texans Wire, part of the USA Today Sports Network. And you can find all of our work at texanswire.usatoday.com. And I know why you all downloaded this podcast. It's to hear Anthony Wood and his interview with Daniel Jeremiah. We've got that coming up here in a moment. But before we go any further, I just want to let you know that we're your source for news, analysis, and rumors when it comes to the Houston Texans. So be sure to check us out at texanswire.usatoday.com. Now, before Anthony goes ahead and talks to Daniel Jeremiah, what I want to know from Daniel is what kind of offseason has this been in draft preparation with all of the social distancing, and they're going to have a virtual draft with real consequences. Just what has this been like for Daniel Jeremiah?
Sure, yeah, no, I'm excited. This is my favorite time of the year. It's obviously a weird draft, but still, it's going to be a lot of fun here, and doing this whole virtual draft will be a different experience, but I'm excited for it to get here.
Absolutely, and I mean, from your point of view, how different is it preparing for a virtual draft as opposed to the usual setup?
For the players, it's just it's going to be different from the standpoint of how we execute it on television. But yeah, look, we'll adjust and we'll figure it out. I'm sure it'll be better hour two than hour one as we get accustomed to this whole new format, new setup here. But it's going to be fun.
Absolutely. So, I mean, moving on to the Texans, first of all, obviously this past week has been somewhat of a whirlwind thanks to the Brandon Cooks trade. If you're Deshaun Watson, do you feel more confident with Hopkins, Fuller, Stills, Carter, QT, and then the Johnsons, or Fuller, Cooks, Cobbs, Stills, Carter, QT, and then the Johnsons?
Well, to me, if I can keep DeAndre Hopkins, that's my choice, just as a receiver. I'm not sitting back there playing quarterback, but he's different, you know, he's special. So I would still probably prefer that, but man, they've added a lot of proven players. They just need to keep field healthy and keep David Johnson healthy and get him back to the way he was a couple years ago. And they've got a chance to still have an outstanding offense. So yeah, it's going to be a little bit different look there. And now they've got some assets in this draft that they need to hit on here, particularly that, picking the second round and picking the third round, they've got to find a way to hit on those two guys.
Absolutely. And in those earlier rounds in particular, do you see the Texans possibly going for more weapons? And if so, I mean, which offensive weapons can you possibly see them going for?
Well, I think you look at some more players in the passing game that could get involved. I just think when you look at the needs of this team, I think they've solved a lot of their problems on the offensive side of the ball, and I would expect this to be a defensive leaning draft for them. So while I can make a case and give you names of receivers that would be great, I think with Randall Cobb and Stills and Cooks, Fuller, I mean, that's a pretty full house right now. You look at it, but at the end of the day, I think they end up going on the defensive side of the ball, trying to find edge rushers, trying to find a defensive tackle. I think that group up front to me would be an area I would expect them to target.
Absolutely, and that's something I think a lot of people have been saying, is that they're expecting to go up front first of all. So around that sort of second, third round range where they're picking, who really stands out for you at defensive tackle and then as an edge rusher?
Yeah, you get to that range. I mean, Devon Hamilton from Ohio State there. He's a really interesting player. You look at somebody like Larell Murchison, maybe he's in the fourth round there from NC State. He's got outstanding hands and quickness inside as defensive tackles. James Lynch is somebody from Baylor that played on the edge, but probably will kick inside and give you some interior pass rush. Who's somebody that can move up and down the line of scrimmage. He's got some quickness and he's a very productive player. So those would be the interior guys along the defensive line. And then when you look at some edge players in that round range, talking about Darrell Taylor from Tennessee, who's coming off of an injury, but a really explosive edge rusher there who's got some knockback power. And then, maybe a guy like Jonathan Grenard from Florida. He's probably in that fourth round range. He can play with his hand up or hand on the ground. He's real slippery as the rusher, and I thought he was a little more athletic than he timed there at the combine.
And then focusing on defense, the Texans obviously have had quite a high turnover of cornerbacks the last few years, and safety as well, you could argue. I mean, who really stands out for you in that, again, second to sort of fourth round range for cornerback and then perhaps safety as well?
Yeah, I think there's some interesting players. A guy like Jarius Sneed from Louisiana Tech, who's played corner, he's played safety this last year. I think you'll see him go back to corner. I think he's more comfortable there. He's kind of in that range in that area. John Reed from Penn State, who's he's got 7 career interceptions. He can play inside or outside. Got some versatility. Really, really tough kid. So I think he probably factors into that third round range. And an interesting kid that's going to be a nickel is Darnay Holmes from UCLA, who did not play well this year, was a little bit dinged up, wasn't totally healthy, but he's a pro in terms of how he handles his preparation. And poor guy had to go up against a lot of the top receivers, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Pittman. He saw a bunch of those guys. So also saw Brandon Ayuk. So he's been tested. I think he'll be a value pick in that fourth round range.
Absolutely, and you mentioned the receivers there. I mean, this is a really, really heavy draft to receivers. There's some really impressive guys in it. I know me and my colleagues at the Texans Wire have been discussing Antonio Gandy-Golden quite a bit. Brandon Ayuk, we've heard thrown around quite a few times as well. What are your thoughts on those guys? Because they're the ones that have been sort of thrown around with the Texans a few times now.
Is interesting because he played at Liberty, but you watch him, it's like watching, I say it's like watching Billy Madison at recess from that movie. It looks like he's an adult playing with little kids. He's got some incredible catches where he just kind of plucks the ball off the head of defenders. I thought he had a good week at the Senior Bowl. Unfortunately, dropped the ball in the game, but a good week of practice. Didn't run as fast as you would have hoped at 4.6 flat, but I think he's one of those guys that's got a chance to be better than where he was picked. Is a big player. And then a couple other guys I would highlight, just Chase Claypool from Notre Dame. The quarterback play was not great there this year, but really tough, really physical. Some people like him as a tight end. He's intriguing to me in that same range. And then John Hightower from Boise, just with all the pure speed that he has, real fluid, real loose, excellent kickoff returner. Just needs to get a little bit stronger. But I have those guys all kind of clumped in together.
Yeah, Chase Claypool for me, him and Bryan Edwards really stand out in terms of their size. They're both really interesting prospects. And then obviously we know Coach O'Brien, he loves his
Oh
running
man, Bryan
backs.
Edwards.
Oh,
I was gonna
sorry,
say I
go
have
on there.
Bryan Edwards there. Yeah, I was gonna say I have Bryan Edwards tucked in right behind those guys, so he's in that same neighborhood, another really good player.
Absolutely, and yeah, when we talked about running backs as well, the Texans, obviously we know how O'Brien is with his running back, so there's quite a few guys that we've heard of have met with the Texans, have spoken with them at various times. Cam Akers is one of the names we've heard thrown around, J.K. Dobbins, A.J. Dillon, I believe, as well. I mean, what are your thoughts on the running back prospects?
I think it's a good group. Cam Akers to me is one that's really interesting. I think he's kind of in that range of where you're picking there in the second round. Would not be a reach in my opinion. I love Dobbins as well. Runs really, really hard. I think this is a good group. It's a really good group of running backs, especially those top five guys. You look at this Tech, it would look, but man, it'd be fun to kind of pair him up with what you already have in the backfield with David Johnson and Duke Johnson, to get one of those guys. I just think they go on the other side first.
Absolutely. And I mean, how do you feel about looking at this Texans offense as a whole with the line coming off of what was really a rebuilding year? And you look at the amount of weapons they've got now, a couple of them we don't really know what to expect from, Kahale Waring being one of those guys. Where does Cobb fit in? How are they going to use Cooks and so on? What's your gut reaction about this offense? What are you expecting from them this year?
Well, I think I think the offensive line on paper looks pretty good. You get Titus Howard, keep him healthy with what we saw from Max Sharping. I know what Laremy Tunsil can do. I think it's a pretty good group. I wouldn't be surprised if you get an interior offensive lineman there to compete. And I feel good about the offensive line, the best I've felt about it in a long time. And they've got tons of speed. So you're going to be able to get some home runs there with Deshaun pushing the ball vertically down the field. I don't really have any concerns. I mean, I wish you didn't have to give up DeAndre Hopkins, and that, more so on third downs and in the red zone, I think will be felt. But I think this team's going to move the ball up and down the field. It's just a matter now Can we get this defense, you know, where it needs to be? You can't be 28th in total defense again. That's got to improve, and especially on third down.
I completely agree. And looking ahead to the draft again, then, are there any rookies that you've heard being persistently linked with the Texans at all?
No, you know, it's interesting just because they, you know, not having a first round pick, that's usually the buzz that tends to surround some of these players. But not having a first round pick, you don't hear as much about the Texans being connected to this player or another player. And, you know, the fact that the pro days got cut short, you know, a lot of the rumors and the whispers and all that stuff is it's not a normal year. You don't hear as much.
Certainly, it's a very strange time at the moment, trying to figure out exactly what each team is going for. Finally, obviously, I know you're extremely busy, so I'll let you go. Do you see Trader Bill, as I know John McClain likes to call him, making any moves on draft night?
I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, he likes the action, so I would not put it past him. But I'll say at the end of the day, they end up just staying right where they are. And all the drama that we've seen in the offseason with free agency, it'll be a drama-free draft, and they'll just stick and pick.
Excellent. Thanks very much. It was an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks. I enjoyed it. You have a good one.
Absolutely. Thanks very much. Take care.
Excellent. Excellent interview that Anthony did with Daniel Jeremiah. That's why he runs the podcast, in essence. You know, I it's a, he gets the good guests, so that's why you gotta let Anthony run the podcast. But I figured I would jump on here just to let you guys know about some of the other content that we have at Texans Wire. Bill O'Brien, as a matter of fact, he had his annual pre-draft press conference, and really, this is the first time I think in Texans history that it was just one guy meeting with the media, and that's because it's the coach and the general manager, same person, in Bill O'Brien. So he met with the media on Zoom, and he got to see his back patio there in his suburban Houston home. So, what O'Brien was talking about, and we'll cover this a little more in depth on Texans Wire over the coming days, is, and it really dovetails into what Daniel Jeremiah was talking about, the Texans via O'Brien believe that this year's draft is going to be, it's not really this year's draft, that they believe that because of the lack of pro days and getting their hands on these players, that it's really going to be a veterans off season, that there's going to be a chance for a lot of veterans to have a renaissance in their careers. Because they're the rookies, there's already an unknown element. Now it's just multiplied because of the lack of pro days and all the other and getting to bring the guys in for visits. All that's been nixed. So O'Brien thinks that it's going to be that veterans are going to have the really going to have the edge over the rookies, and one position group that he pointed out that he thinks they're going to be up to speed and you'd rather go there as opposed to a rookie is wide receiver. So as the draft plays out, it'll be interesting to see if other teams follow suit and believe, you know, what O'Brien believes in that the receivers, you better go with a rookie, I mean, a veteran as opposed to a rookie. So here's where the Texans are when it comes to their draft and why Daniel Jeremiah, he's right. They're probably gonna stay put in the draft. If you go by the Jimmy Johnson point value system for draft picks, I think drafttech.com, they popularized it, or I should say made it available for people to consume. If you take a look at that point system, the Texans have the third lowest draft, you know, point value wise, At 232 points. It's the third lowest in the NFL. The Buffalo Bills have the lowest at 190, and the Pittsburgh Steelers have the second lowest at 192. So with only seven total selections and really not a lot of value with those picks put together, it's going to be difficult for Trader Bill, as the general John McClane has dubbed him. It's going to be difficult for Trader Bill to move around, so the Texans probably will stay put. Maybe you could see with their second round pick, 40th overall, perhaps they trade down, get some picks later on in the draft, but you know, more than likely, I think Jeremiah, his assessment is right on target. So with Houston having the third lowest picks, in terms of value, that's just where they find themselves. But again, if you believe what O'Brien has said in his pre-draft press conference, that they're at a disadvantage in not having all the intel on the rookies, you can see why it lines up this way and why Houston has taken the course of action that they have. Here's what's frustrating, I would think, if O'Brien's right. If you're a Dolphins, Bengals, Jaguars fan, because they had the top three in the draft in terms of point value. I mean, the Dolphins are winning the thing with 1,352 for their point value out of their 14 picks. I mean, that would just be such a blow to miss on all those guys because you didn't have all the right information. But that's another discussion as to what's going to happen with this draft when you look back 5 years from now. Was watching the tape on these guys, because that's all you have, is watching the tape going to be more valuable than the analytics? Because everybody likes to take a look at the analytics with the pro days and the combine, some of it with the college all-star games. But you have a body of analytics that you can look at in the regular years. Now, not so much. Instead, it's going to be a tape draft. So that'll be interesting to see how this all plays out, if tape in the eyeball test is better than the models. You know, common sense is better than the models. And that, but again, you can't know that until 5 years down the road. That's another interesting thing O'Brien mentioned in his pre-draft presser. He said that the fans, they can't really evaluate the moves that they've made right now until a year, 2 years, 3 years from now. So if you're still salty over the trading of DeAndre Hopkins to the Arizona Cardinals, you can't evaluate that, according to O'Brien, for another year, 2 years, 3 years from now. Of course, that's me being sarcastic. You know, it's an interesting thing. We have a group chat between the staff writers at Texans Wire. So we have the group chat on Twitter. And, you know, Chris Knowles makes an interesting, he made an interesting point in the group chat. And maybe he can flesh that out sometime and bring it to the larger audience. But he points out that the Texans, with their moves that they've made, and even though, you know, it's, you get rid of a great locker room guy like DeAndre Hopkins, they have a very versatile skill set now in their receiving core. You've got Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks, they're your speedy guys. You got Randall Cobb in the slot, and you have Kenny Stills, who's the jack of all trades. You got David Johnson, who really who can be that bell cow for you, and he can also catch passes out of the backfield. He can be great in the passing game. So Watson may have the largest diversity of weapons that he has ever had since taking over as starting quarterback of the Houston Texans, and that bodes well for the offense. I think it's an interesting point. What fans, I think, why they're salty about the Hopkins trade is you had a three-time All-Pro, and one of those All-Pros was with T.J. Yates and Tom Savage throwing him the ball for nine and a half games, in 2017. And you can't even get a first rounder for him. So even when you get rid of someone that's a great locker room guy, great in the Houston sports scene, you know, really succeeded Andre Johnson and was set to shatter some of his records. By the time his career would have ended, if it would have gone as long, a tenure would have ended, if it would have gone as long as Johnson's. And you don't even get a first-round pick for him. I think that's that just adds to the gripe that the fans have. But you can check out all of our work at texanswire.usatoday.com. Follow Anthony, by the way, on Twitter, at ARWoodNFL. Follow Anthony Wood on Twitter, at ARWoodNFL. Also, you want to check out the Texans Wire on Twitter, at the Texans Wire on Twitter, at the Texans Wire. And you can find all of our great work there. So with that being said, the NFL draft is under a week away. So there it is.